Hey everyone, if you know me, you know that I've been investing in precious metals for many, many years. Once I realized that private banking cartels could drastically manipulate currencies, putting my family savings in jeopardy, I decided to take matters into my own hand and diversify our savings strategy. This is why I buy physical silver and gold and invest in metals through our Roth and 401k, and I only invest with Colonial Metals Group. CMG is the exclusive sponsor of the Shannon Joy Show, and they're helping me set up a safe and secure self-directed IRA where I have access to my assets no matter what the stock market, or for that matter, the government is doing. Let the team of experts at Colonial help you protect your family's future with an extra special offer just for the SJ audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705 0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver just for the SJ audience. Join me today and take back your power. Secure your wealth with Colonial Metals Group. Well, hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It is Monday, February 12th. So good to be with all of you. All systems are go. I'm pretty sure my mic is turned on. The video is working. We are broadcasting live from Rumble, live from Twitter. Obviously, we're on Spreely TV, Hulu, and Roku, and Apple TV as well. We have Studio 8424 with us. We are also broadcasting from the great Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee on every podcast platform, and of course, our 50,000-watt blowtorch here in upstate New York. News Radio Wham 1180. We have a big week to get to. Last week was a big week as well. Lots of big guests lined up for the Shannon Joy Show this week. I'm going to fill you in on all of that. We're going to talk about the Super Bowl today. We're going to talk about just a little bit the Putin-Tucker Carlson interview last week. I have a lot to say about that, and so does Sasha Latapova. She will be joining me tomorrow live in the Joy Virtual Studio to take apart that fascinating interview. I watched all 2 hours. I was absolutely riveted. I know a lot of people liked it, didn't like it. There's a lot going down on conservative media, mainstream media about what that was. We're going to take that apart with Sasha Latapova, among other things, tomorrow on the show. She will be with us live. We're also going to talk, we're going to spend some time today, massive developments over in Europe as we now enter the sixth week of rolling protests across Europe, pouring into other countries. And these farmers who are pouring out onto the streets, they're shutting down cities, they're shutting down thoroughfares and passageways, they are dumping manure on government buildings. They will not relent. In fact, the protests are becoming even more intense as we move into this sixth week. This is now being massively covered by all of mainstream news media, and they are gaining victories starting in the European Union and also in Germany. This is reminiscent of what I believe was one of the most effective protests in the 21st century, and that was the farmers and the truckers in Canada post-COVID-19 lockdown. That protest was so organized that it compelled the government eventually to send in armed forces, to seize bank accounts, to arrest the diminutive female leader of the organization. But that protest had lasting impact on Canada. And what's going on in Europe is astounding. What is amazing is that it really hasn't penetrated the psyche of the American people. I do believe here in the United States of America, we are one of the most propagandized populations on the planet. And so while people are able to wake up in the Netherlands and Denmark and Sweden and France and Italy and Germany, here in the US, we're still watching the Super Bowl. We're still mired in the false political paradigm of left versus right. We're facing down an election season in 2024 where we have to vote between the Weekend at Bernie's cardboard cutout candidate, Joe Biden, who clearly has dementia, and Donald Trump, the reality TV star who doesn't have control of his Twitter fingers and is, I don't know, you just never know what to expect from him, you know, flanked by MAGA. And so these are false choices. These are not real choices. This is not a real political choice. Interestingly enough, in the Super Bowl, we had an ad that ran for Bobby Kennedy Jr. that sparked an enormous amount of response on Twitter and social media, and even the family of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We're going to talk about that as well, because the Super Bowl ultimately is a window into the cultural and political paradigm that is shaping sentiment in the United States of America. And so I know a lot of you boycott the Super Bowl. You're sick of the Super Bowl. You don't watch the Super Bowl. I'm with you there. One of the things that has really astounded me about this season, and it was Kansas City Chiefs versus the 49ers. I watched the entire thing. And this whole NFL season, I have marveled at how many people will blatantly say out loud, like with no shame whatsoever, that they're pretty convinced that all of this is rigged, that it is a WWE wrestling match type of situation in NFL football. Everyone kind of accepts that, but I think that's a pretty interesting phenomenon. It goes to show how the American people are becoming more and more cynical as we move into the election year of 2024 and are starting to wake up to some of these themes. And so that's why I pay attention to the commercials and to what's going on within the Super Bowl and the romance between Taylor Swift and Kelce and the whole thing. I think it's fascinating. So we'll talk about that in the beginning a little bit. And then we're going to spend some time today on the success and what is happening. I have two really, really good articles that I'm going to look at today. The first is from The Guardian. And again, anyone saying that the European protests are not being covered by mainstream news media now, it's not true. This is definitely penetrating BBC, MSNBC, Reuters, AP News, you name it. It is all over the headlines. And it's precisely because they are now getting concessions. They're winning. Okay, and this is what I want to focus your attention on today, that we don't need to go to the polls and engage in false choices, pseudo elections, right? WWE wrestling matches between the two political parties who are actually on the same team to get meaningful changes put through in the United States of America. And we can look to our neighbors in Europe to see how they're getting it done. Organization at the bottom level, from the bottom up, among regular people who believe in freedom and free markets and basic sanity, who are standing against the woke onslaught that has penetrated the majority of American life, but also European life, the crazy great resetters and their sustainability goals to get to net zero or carbon zero or whatever it is. But they're basically marching us, you know, off of a cliff collectively, as they impose more stringent controls on farming and what farmers can do. And that is the nut, that's the crux of what is going on in Europe. It's becoming very basic for people. And so we tend to believe here in the US that we can't get anything done unless we write a check to our favorite candidate and put a lawn sign in our yard and shuffle off to the polls, even though they tell us the polls are fake and the elections are rigged. Like, they tell that to us, yet we still believe that somehow that's going to work for us. And I'm not saying don't vote. I'm just saying there's a lot more that we can do between now and November 2nd, 2024. And I'm very heartened to see that there are outside voices like Bobby Kennedy Jr. Like him or dislike him, he is having the impact of forcing the political elites and both candidates from both parties to address issues that are important to all of you watching this show today, that are important to me and my family: the reckoning for COVID-19 lockdowns, the addressing of vaccine injury and death, particularly with COVID-19. And so I'm thankful for those topics being shoved into the political discourse. And whether you disagree with Bobby Kennedy on certain policies or you just don't like him, it still has the impact of moving the discourse, which is fantastic. Ron DeSantis and Dr. Joe Latipo down in Florida having a two-hour press conference on the findings of the Florida grand jury investigating the response to COVID-19 and also investigating the vaccines. And I was pretty down on their report that they released last week. I was like, this looks like a political thing. Sasha Latipova actually agreed with me. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But it looks as if they aren't just going to let this go. They're going to push this. And so I love the idea of having an outside candidate actually have a shot of maybe winning a presidential election in 2024, like Bobby Kennedy Jr. And if we don't like all the things that he does as president, we always have federalism and states' rights and state sovereignty to fall back on. I like having Governor Ron DeSantis as governor of Florida. In case someone like Trump or even RFK Jr. or Biden steps out of line with overbearing, unconstitutional federal regulations or policies, maybe trying to move this country into a central banking digital currency that is tied to social credit scores if they try to collapse our economy. I like the idea of having governors on the outside. That's why I'm not, you know, crying into my cereal about Ron DeSantis losing the Republican primary. There's much, much, much that he can do from the state of Florida and even influence other governors and box them in. We saw Ron DeSantis do that. This is why the Senate bill that was supposed to address the border crisis and the constitutional crisis that was going down on the border in Texas went down in flames last week. It's because of pressure coming from outside forces, bottom-up organization, and individuals like DeSantis that are pushing the conversation and forcing governors to address finally once and for all the problem with illegal immigration. We're getting hit from every single angle. And if I'm bouncing around a lot, I apologize. But we're gonna have a broad show today and look at some broad themes and broad topics. And then we're gonna home in, like I mentioned, Sasha Latapova tomorrow. We're gonna talk about that grand jury and the findings in Florida regarding the COVID-19 vaccine and also the lockdowns. And then we're also going to do a deep dive and some analysis on that fascinating interview between Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin last week. Okay, so today, before we go to break, all right, let me go and say, first, let's do this. Let's say hello to all of you. Oh, you're already feisty on the live chat. If you're watching right now live, please do me a favor. Smash the like button, give us a follow. If you follow the Shannon Joy Show right now, you will be alerted anytime I go live. And that helps to grow this small independent show. If you're watching on Twitter, please give us a thumbs up and a retweet. That helps us with the algorithms as well. And obviously, join the live chat, make lots of comments. If you have a question or a comment that you want me to read or answer, make sure in the live chat you put it in all caps. And that way, as I'm scrolling through it, because I don't have a producer, I'm self-producing, I can see it and then quickly read it, understand it, and then hopefully answer it. So let's go to the live chat really quickly. Again, guys, share this with everyone you know. Studio 8424 is with us. Today we have Dino Fun. Dino Fun did not watch the Super Bowl. Boycotted the Super Bowl and watched the Puppy Bowl instead, which was about 3 hours long and even featured a dachshund. Okay. Or dachshund. Is that how you, yeah, that's how you pronounce the little dachshund. Okay. Dino Fun is proud of the farmers. Amazing. We have Kay Schwenk with us. We have Lupine with us. Bill Benz. The Kennedy commercial was cool. Most people probably didn't even know he was running. That was my big takeaway. And we're going to do a little bit of Super Bowl analysis in just a minute on the Shannon Joy Show. I really liked the Kennedy commercial and I have it here. I'm going to play it for you guys today. This was a big win for American Values 2024. This is a super PAC that is run by Tony Lyons. He is a publisher. He's a renegade, rogue publisher. He's the guy who published The Real Anthony Fauci by Bobby Kennedy, which just blew the lid off of everything that was COVID-19 and lockdown. He has published Ed Dowd in his work and a lot of the other medical freedom superstars that you guys love. They couldn't get published. Tony Lyons went ahead and did that and has a great reputation. So he started up, and he's been on my show multiple times. So Tony Lyons started up a super PAC, I believe. I think that it's his super PAC, American Values 2024. They put together this commercial that ran in the Super Bowl, and it had, I mean, everyone talking. And so it also irritated members of Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s family who were absolutely incensed because it featured an old advertisement of his uncle, John F. Kennedy Jr. And so that sparked a little tiff between the Kennedys. But needless to say, you know, this is a massive audience. It's the Super Bowl. It's a lot of baby boomers. It's a lot of people who don't pay attention to politics. They're not really invested in either political party. In fact, a lot of them are probably irritated and disgusted by both political parties. And to see this kind of refreshing, different, quirky, retro ad that harkens back to the nostalgia of a time that was simpler, pre-1963, when we had American ideals and we weren't under siege from this woke left insanity and all of it. I think, you know, what I saw, my husband liked it. He's somewhat apolitical. My kids liked it. They thought it was interesting. And what from what I saw on social media, it was very, very, very well received. So I'm going to play that for you when we come back in the next segment as we do our brief Super Bowl overview. I'm also going to play for you an ad that just irritated the hell out of me very early on. And this is by this company. It's a nonprofit group that has wicked deep pockets, okay? Hundreds of millions of dollars. And this nonprofit is the JesusHeGetsUs.com nonprofit. And they ran a borderline, and this is, I mean, I am a very, very faithful, devout Christian. I have been a Christian for well over 40 years. I've read my Bible back and forth. I'm not super legalistic, and I don't bash people over the head with, you know, what they have to think about this or that. But there are some pretty basic tenets of Christianity that are generally agreed upon by all of the different, denominations, by Christians and Catholics and Protestants and you name it, right? Baptists and Methodists. And this organization, Jesus, He Gets Us, to me, it looks as if, and they've been buttering us up for 3 years. They did Super Bowl ads last year, and I think they did Super Bowl ads the year before. Again, tons of money. And so their ads last year were kind of buttering us up, like just showed people who argue about politics coming together and Jesus, He gets us. He doesn't want us to hate each other. He wants us to love each other. And all of those things are very good, right? Well, this year, I mean, they just dove right in with the complete leftist appropriation of Christianity. I mean, that's what it seemed to me, because it was, this ad was basically from my viewing of it, completely blasphemous, potentially heretical. I mean, it was the opposite of the doctrine of the Gospels of Jesus Christ, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm not going to get into a theological discussion today on the program. You can watch Steve Dace for that, because he's really good at this stuff. I'm not a theologian and I'm not a pastor, but I'm a girl who's read her Bible back and forth a couple times, and I know blasphemy when I see it. I mean, this was blatant. It was also a complete misrepresentation of the scriptures. And so we're going to look at that in the next segment on the Shannon Joy Show as well. And also just an overview, general look at the cultural, just the cultural points that I saw from the Super Bowl. Slightly different this year, and I was happy about certain things and a little irritated about other things. So we're going to do that in the next segment. Segment after, we are going to do a brief, just a very brief overview of the Putin-Tucker interview, and that's only for me to set up my interview with Sasha Latapova tomorrow. Now, she is Eastern European. She speaks the language. She knows what she's talking about, and she was not buying the conservative response to the interview between Tucker and Putin, which was basically like, I wish Putin was our president. I wish that dictator would come over here. And she's like, oh, hold on with that. All right, let's take this with a grain of salt. A lot of people thought that Tucker got somewhat rolled. And I have some thoughts, some broad umbrella thoughts about that. But we're going to get in deeper tomorrow, in-depth analysis with Sasha Latapova, among other things. So make sure you're with us live tomorrow, 11 a.m. here on Rumble and Twitter. On Wednesday, and I know I'm throwing a lot at you right now. I'm just setting up the week for you guys, so you guys know what to expect and what we're going to do. And Wednesday, I have Michael Yon. So he is the guy who has been taking, he's down in Panama again, looking at not just this border issue of illegal migration over the border, but what he is saying is an invasion of this country. Terror cells, fighting age young men coming from every corner of the globe, pouring across the border. But there is a pipeline, a business, an apparatus that has been built up south of the U.S. border that has a ton of money behind it, has global NGOs behind it. Michael Yon is probably the definitive source on this. I had a great conversation with him yesterday. We booked him. He's going to be live from Panama on Wednesday this week. He has been taking U.S. leaders. Brett Weinstein went down to the border with him just a couple weeks ago, and he's bringing more people down there so they can witness firsthand this apparatus. It's absolutely fascinating. I think he has a handle on what is going on, and also the much larger geopolitical landscape. Okay, so nothing happens in a vacuum, and really everything is about, when you're talking about a powerful elite and the history of the world, it's always about power, resources, human resources, aka slaves, land resources like energy, water, obviously land masses. And so all of these things, and I think we've forgotten just like basic geopolitics as Americans. We've let both political parties muddy and mischaracterize so much of the news that we consume today that we're very, very confused. I think Michael Yon is going to help us become unconfused on Wednesday about some of these things. So I'm really looking forward to interviewing him. Next week, Denis Rancourt will be with me on the Shannon Joy Show to follow up on my discussion last week with Steve Kirsch. If you want to go back and watch what I think was one of the best interviews of last week, it was with Steve Kirsch. We had a really bumpy start. My mic didn't work the first like 5 minutes of the show. I'm surprised I had any audience whatsoever. These are the perils of self-production. Sometimes I start my show and just forget to put my mic on. And then you guys yell at me on the live chat, turn on your mic. And then I'm sheepish and embarrassed and we get on with the show. But very, very interesting interview with Steve Kirsch. I interviewed Steve because he had a very interesting debate with Denis Rancourt. And so we talked about that last week, and we're going to have Denis on next week to talk about the vaccine, to talk about the COVID-19 lockdown, whether or not that virus even exists in his opinion. His opinion is he's not convinced, but he just has to see proof for it. Very interesting discussion. And we're going to do the politics of COVID-19 and the vaccine with Denis next Wednesday. And that is, barring any cancellations. And as you guys know, I was stood up a couple times. Just Daniel Horowitz. And it's not his fault. He lost his voice. So I'm going to try to get Daniel back on this week, but I doubt it's going to happen. Tonight, mark your calendars. We're going to go to break in just a minute. And then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this show. Tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time, we're doing a massive money bomb Twitter spaces. Steve Dace, Daniel Horowitz, myself, Tracy Beans, among others, we're all coming together live on Twitter spaces tonight. We're going to be taking questions, comments. This is all to benefit Chip Roy. Again, MAGA and Trump post DeSantis have their panties in a bunch over congressmen and women and the governor of Iowa, who had the audacity to get behind Governor DeSantis instead of Donald Trump. And so now there's an all-out assault. Donald Trump plus MAGA plus all of his henchmen on Twitter are going after some of our very best elected congressional leaders. People like Tom Massey, who was literally the only man in Washington, D.C. to stand up against COVID-19 lockdowns in March of 2020. They attacked Tom Massey. We've supported him. They're now going after Chip Roy as well. They're going to dump money into their districts. They're going to find rhino Republicans who pledge allegiance to Donald Trump to run against them. And they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink. We're going to support them. You guys can help us do that. You can get the link. Follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Shannon Joy Radio. That's at Shannon Joy Radio. And I have tweeted out a couple times the link to the spaces. It's going to be great. I probably won't say a whole lot. Everyone's there. They want to hear from Chip Roy. They clearly want to hear from like Steve Dace, who's a big star, and Daniel Horowitz. I just go to support. I sit up there. If people have a question for me, I'll probably say a few words at some point. But it really just is the power of community and sticking together and supporting each other. And, you know, people who stick their necks out and do things that are principled and right. And you might not agree with them, but they are courageous and it's what they truly believe. We cannot punish those people with our apathy when we lose. And we are going to lose some of these battles, okay? We have to stand behind them and reward the people who stand up for us. So that's what we're going to do for Chip Roy tonight on Twitter Spaces. So follow me right now, at Shannon Joy Radio. And yeah, we'll cover that. So let's just do this. Let's say hi to some of you on the live chat. Again, please give us a thumbs up. Please share this with your friends and family right now. Smash the like button, smash the follow button, and join us on the live chat. We have the smartest, most brilliant, nicest, funnest live chatters on the Shannon Joy Show. It is the best audience on Rumble. You guys are absolutely amazing. I often go back after the show, after I shut down the live link, and I scroll through all of your chats and your conversations. And you guys are just great. You're brilliant. You help me with my understanding of certain things. You certainly help me understand the temperature of the electorate and people who are up and paying attention to what's going on. And so I really value all of you. So let's just say hello. Again, we have Lupine with us. Bill Benz is with us. Winford Frank. Yes, the Spanish farmers have managed to cut some sort of deal. Not just the Spanish farmers, the German farmers, and the European Union. You guys are not going to believe the report that I have from you from Financial Times. The title of it is The Power of the European Farmers. They are winning. They are getting and achieving discernible policy outcome outside of the voting booth, outside of democracy in Europe by turning out on the streets and not giving up. And this is peaceful. I know that Naomi Wolf mentioned, we'll talk about this in a minute, on Twitter that she was worried that this was some kind of color revolution or somehow that intelligence agencies were involved, or maybe this wasn't a real organic bottom up. I hear what she's saying, and I'm always keeping an eye out for any of those color revolutions or any time I think that intelligence is involved in organizations. And you guys know I told my audience not to go to J6 because my spidey senses were up about that in Washington, D.C., to stop the steal. And I also recently, as there was word that militias were forming across the U.S. to drive down to the border and like shut it down, I've warned you guys against that as well. Again, because my spidey senses were tingling at that moment. But in this, I've really paid attention. I'm sure that intelligence agencies or government operatives would like to come in and subvert what is happening in Europe. I'm sure they are trying to subvert what is happening in Europe. But at this point, I really don't think that they have. And I'll get into that a little bit as well. But yeah, they are winning a discernible policy outcome, which is just fantastic. And it shows you that we don't have to put all of our eggs into the electoral basket. We can win on policy outside of United States of elections by placing pressure on elected leaders. We're seeing that in spades in Europe, and we're also beginning to see it a little bit in the United States of America. Bill Benz, could the great Owen Stevens figure out why Trump and the Trumpets are going after Roy, Shannon? Well, you know, Owen, I know people are at different stages of how they feel about Trump. I mean, I feel like I know who he is. He's a grifter. He's a liar. He's a con man. He's a Democrat. He's definitely progressive. He really doesn't have any values other than elevating himself and his family. That's just my opinion. Okay. I'm not going to get into it too deeply, but yeah, I've made my decision about him. Like, and once I make my decision, it's pretty hard unless he does a mea culpa and apologizes, which he's never going to do for COVID-19 and the lockdowns and the vaccines. And so it's just over for me with him. Sean Native Texan is with us. He says, absolutely, they are winning. He's talking about the farmers, and it's great. Maybe they'll fight for their freedom soon and get rid of the insane socialism they have. Yeah. CJP Rumble says, that manure looks real. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And very interestingly, you know, it's beginning to penetrate into the BRICS countries and that Sino-Russian alliance, you know, China, Russia, India. India now is bracing for impact as Indian farmers are planning massive farmer protests in Delhi. So yeah, this is, it's fascinating. I'm gonna give you a lot of information on that when we come back. So let's go to break real quick. When we come back, we'll do a shorty 10, 15 minutes on the Super Bowl and the cultural and political angles that I drew from yesterday's Super Bowl, some good, some bad, and also that just disgusting, disgusting ad from the Jesus, He Gets Us People, which is basically a multi-gazillion dollar nonprofit. You will never believe where they're getting their money from. I did a cursory investigation yesterday. A lot of you guys sent me some information. You will never believe where this organization is getting their money from. Well, I found out. We're going to report on that in the context of our Super Bowl discussion when we come back right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. As you all know, the Joy family is super sporty. We all play volleyball. The kids are playing beach volleyball in the summer, high school volleyball in the fall. And right now we are traveling across the country almost every weekend, different city every weekend, playing club volleyball. And the kids need good nutrition. Very difficult to be healthy on the road. Sometimes they're playing, you know, up to 5 games a day, 10 games in a weekend. And they need the vitamins and minerals. They need the nutrition. And I'm so thrilled to partner up with Field of Greens so that they can get all of the vitamins and the nutrients and the nutrition that they need to supplement their regular diet and keep them full of energy and healthy on the court. Also, healing after these long tournaments is really important. And the product line over at Field of Greens is fantastic. It is an easy way to make sure that your family is getting the nutrients that they need, all natural, every single day. Go to fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. And plug in the promo code Shannon. You can check out their whole lineup of products. And if you put in that promo code Shannon, you'll get 15% off your order. So we're super excited to partner up with them and looking forward to a super healthy 2023.
Hi, my name is Quinn Pittman. I grew up here in these Florida woods. I like to hunt and fish on our land in Osteen, Florida. When I was 7, I asked my parents if I could have a couple of milk goats so I can make cheese. I am 14 now, and I have a small goat herd. My dad built this barn to keep my goats safe from the bobcats and coyotes that sometimes roam our land. I milk them every day before school. I love spending time with my goats. I make ice cream and milk for some of my friends that are allergic to cow's milk, because every kid should be able to eat ice cream. I also make goat milk soap. It is better for your skin, it won't dry out, and it lasts a long time. I make it on my back porch with my mom. If you would like to try my soap, you can order it at qpgoatsoap.com. Place an order and we will make sure that you have fragrant, freshly cured goat milk soap in your home, just like we have in ours.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the Shannon Joy Show. Please support the sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show, one amazing sponsor. Not only do QP Goat Soap, they support my show, but they support some of your favorite shows on The Blaze. I know they're very close with Daniel Horowitz. He posted out the most adorable picture of Quinn Pittman, who is the young man behind QP Goat Soap. Just got a new goat and it was in the backseat of his car. I guess that's how they do it down on the farm in Florida, but this is an amazing family. Just love their products. We are obsessed with QP Goat Soap here at the Shannon Joy household, and you will be too. Please go to qpgoatsoap.com, qpgoatsoap.com, and use the promo code JOY for 10% off. Let's do a quickie. Let's do 10 minutes. We'll see if I can get this done in 10 minutes, and then we'll move on to the farmers' protest and two pieces, one from Financial Times and one from The Guardian, that really lay out the context and the big picture about what's going on with these European farmers. And by the way, they're getting it done. So we're going to do that after this segment. So what did I think about the Super Bowl? First and foremost, my family, I drive my family crazy. I don't know about all of you, but I can't watch anything on TV, anything that normies watch, without looking for like the underlying theme and, you know, the secret messages and the propaganda that they're trying to dump on us. And I literally drive my family crazy. They're like, oh my gosh, mom, shut up, because I'm watching the Super Bowl and I'm huffing and I'm puffing, and I'm getting annoyed. And so I have to like rein it in and vent my anger or my irritation and frustration on Twitter. And so that's what I did last night. And my family, they're very, very generous to me. I love them desperately. But I don't know if it's like that at your household as well. But for me, you know, that's always kind of a theme, because I do so much research on this stuff. And so I can just spot. I was marketing for 15 years and advertising before I started the show as an ad executive. So I did billboard and radio and television. I wrote copy. I handled big advertisers like Subway and McDonald's and managed their campaigns. And so I have background in all of this. And so I just can see the campaigns when they're being launched, the larger themes. And so, yeah, I drive my family crazy, but you cannot ignore the Super Bowl if you're trying to analyze the cultural and political themes that are being woven throughout the fabric of our American society. I mentioned in the last segment, I do believe that in America, we are likely the most heavily propagandized population of people on the face of the planet through mainstream news media, pseudo con ink, conservative right news media, the false political paradigm, the Democrats versus Republicans, through our institutions, through our education institutions, public schooling, through the pipeline to university. And it's sophisticated, primarily now, you know, social media. So they're pulling in with all this information that they're gathering from Facebook and Twitter, TikTok, and social media platforms. They're building psychographic profiles of every one of us. So if you guys are on Rumble, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, just know that there are algorithms sucking up your information and looking at your keystrokes and looking at your emojis and looking how you post and the themes of your posts and the things that you're interested in, not just to sell you things, but to also sell you ideas and know what pushes your buttons. And then they can come in with the super, super sophisticated psychological operations that they use around campaign time to shape the way that you think. So when I go into social media or into, say, the Super Bowl to analyze what's going down, I have my hackles up. Like I'm on like, you know, full alert, right? Like what do you want me to think today? How do you want me to feel today? And because it's that sophisticated. So it's beneficial, I think, for Americans to understand these themes, the propaganda, and how they do this to us, because really just knowing it is half the battle. If you go into social media and you know they're trying to influence you or demoralize you or make you feel a certain way about this or that, not just sell you things, but really get into, you know, your psyche, your spirit. If you know they're trying to do that, that there are forces out there that are malevolent trying to do this, then you'll have built-in protection. You will be able to resist it as a human being because you know that it's there. So that's half the battle, right? I largely, in terms of the Super Bowl, my first takeaway, and I've mentioned this before, I'm very surprised at how many people very overtly state that they believe the Super Bowl is rigged, that they believe it's WWE wrestling. They think that the outcome of the game was already predetermined, that the people who run the betting operations in Vegas, like they have, you know, whole systems built in. There's no way that I can prove or disprove that. I'm just surprised. My takeaway is that more and more people are beginning to get the sense that we're dealing with play actors, whether it's political play actors on the electoral scene or, you know, sports. And there's a lot of money involved. People are pretty suspicious of the Kelce Tay-Tay romance. Again, I have no clue, but just that cynicism, number one, struck me as I was engaging in social media and commenting on the game. So that was number one. In terms of the whole, I thought that the halftime show was much more tame than it has been in past years. In fact, I mean, there wasn't even a whiff of like Satan worshiping or demonic themes, or, I mean, there have been Super Bowl shows where you're like, oh my gosh, like what, what is this? Like, they're just trying to, I don't know, go full bore. This was, you know, they had dancers. At the end, they had stripper poles, and that was like a little suggestive, and I didn't think that was very cool. But for the most part, there were no nipples. There was no, like, you know, gyrating or simulating sexual acts on stage, no Satan worshiping. And, you know, so for me, coming away from that, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm pleasantly surprised here. This is a little more tame than normal. I also didn't get the sense in the ads of that, like, kind of woke, like they were shoving the whole woke culture in our faces. I thought the ads were pretty standard. A lot of them were pretty funny, not too offensive. The only ad that I really took offense to was this, the one that was paid for by Christians, like highly influential Christian leaders in the United States of America were the ones behind the blatantly blasphemous and borderline heretical ad from the Jesus He Gets Us people. I thought that was interesting, right? And very few from the medical industrial complex. Did not see a lot of pharmaceutical ads. There was one for Pfizer. And in fact, at one point, I mentioned it on Twitter, like I was very surprised. But the only pharma ad that I saw was for Pfizer, and it was just one. Dino Fun, who are they, the ones behind it? Well, I'm going to tell you in just a minute. So, yeah. So I think overall, it seemed a little more tame. People weren't really buying. Everyone was kind of like, yeah, it's obvious. Kansas City is going to win. It's already in the books. Like, the deal is already made. We're just kind of going through the process. Good game, low scoring, kind of exciting at the end, right? But I mean, when you don't really trust that they're actually, you know, trying, I don't know. I don't know if it's interesting for people in and of itself. Again, I watch this to look at the political themes and the cultural themes and the propaganda themes. And again, big takeaway, it wasn't the woke left that ran away with it last night. It was actually the most offensive ad was a pseudo somewhat quasi-religious ad about Jesus. So let's get to it. I'm also going to play the Kennedy ad as well. Let's play this ad. This was run, I think they had two ads. Again, I mean, millions upon millions of dollars to place ads. So you think to yourself, well, who are these Jesus people and how do they have all this money? Because I know a lot of religious organizations and charitable organizations and Christian organizations, and they don't have $100 million to drop on Super Bowl ads. So that's like red flag number one. So I'm going to play this ad. You guys tell me what you think. All right, let's do that first. Here we go. Thanks for listening to the Shannon Joy Show. We'll be right back. Hey guys, I am so psyched to be working with the folks over at Colonial Metals Group. You guys know that I am all about personal empowerment, never living in fear or waiting for some politician to save you. Being at the whim of the stock market or the current administration does not make me feel safe or secure. But having a self-directed IRA where I can safely store physical gold and silver, assets that have stood the test of time, makes a lot of sense to me. Let the team of experts at CMG help you protect your family's future. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're already in a 401k or an IRA, or maybe you're thinking about your parents' retirement. Regardless of your situation, Colonial Metals Group can help. We put together a special offer for this audience. Click on the link in the description below or call 888-705-0950. That's 888-705-0950, and you'll be eligible to receive a free safe and up to $10,000 in free silver. Don't sit around waiting for a politician to save you. Save yourself, protect your wealth, and call Colonial Metals Group today.
Don't ask me what you know is true. have to tell you, I love your precious heart. I was standing, you were there, two worlds colliding, and they could never.
Well, there you have it. That was Jesus. He gets us. He doesn't condone hate. He washes feet. So first of all, it's like just completely wrong. Jesus did not wash the feet of sinners. He washed the feet of his own disciples prior to his crucifixion. And so that's just biblically incorrect, first and foremost. But yeah, the sentiment of this... CJP Rumble, I don't get it. Okay, well, I'll explain it to you. I think that it seems to be a leftist appropriation of Christianity and an appropriation of Jesus, completely separated from what he actually said, the words that are laid out in the Gospels of Jesus Christ, which were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to know the sentiment in the heart of Jesus and you want to know about his words, I would suggest, I'm not going to sit here and tell you all what to think. I would suggest, if you're curious about this, to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, probably the King James Version, maybe a couple different versions if you want all the different translations, and read his words for yourself, and then you can decide. But essentially what this is saying, they have a woman outside of an abortion clinic. So a woman who gets an abortion, and it's the protester washing her feet. And they have the illegal immigrants that, you know, it is the people opposing illegal immigration are washing the feet of the illegal immigrant. They have what appears to be a criminal, someone who, committed a crime against another person. The police officer is washing his feet. And the big daddy, the real purpose of this ad, they dropped like an atom bomb at the very end of the commercial. And they have the Catholic priest with the big cross washing the feet of the transgender activist, right? Clearly, this is a transgender individual or I'm not really even sure what the meaning was there, but that was what I took away from it. Basically saying that Jesus loves everyone. He gets us. And he's fine with Christians even living in sin. And that's just the complete opposite. And again, I don't want to get into a deep theological discussion here. I will just say that, you know, this ad, Jesus, he gets us, forgets that Christ also came with a sword. He condemned the liars and the hypocrites, the leaders of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to the pits of hell for their lies and hypocrisy. He said he came with a sword and he did not come together, but to divide on the basis of the truth that he laid out. He gave grace to sinners and forgave sinners, but a necessary prerequisite of that grace and forgiveness and salvation must be repentance. So you can't be prideful in your sin and be proud of the crime you committed or the abortion that you had or your sexual immorality. And I'm just telling you, this is just the Bible. He didn't want us to be proud of that and mired in us. He wanted us to go in sin no more. Repent, come to me, I'll forgive you. You are clean, you have salvation, and you will be with your Father in heaven. That was his message. There was a lot of truth that came with the grace. And so what they laid out was just completely the opposite of what Christ actually said. And so that was offensive to me as a Christian. I really, really didn't like that. And I assumed that. And again, I will tell you, that's the end of my little preacher woman act there. Listen, I am not the type of Christian that bashes people over the head with it. If they ask me about my faith, I will talk to you for hours about my faith in Christ and the miracles that I have witnessed and what he's done in my life. I mean, it's you you'd have to cut off my, I mean, you'd have to separate what I do on a daily basis from my faith would be like cutting off my arm, right? Like it's so ingrained in everything I do. It informs everything I say. It informs my understanding of history. And I take it very seriously, but I don't bash people over the head with it. And I also, quite frankly, don't get too legalistic with it at all. And as well, and I don't get into the bickering of the denominations on this or that, but there are some pretty basic things. Okay. So I'm going to leave it there. Bottom line is that you do not get forgiveness unless you ask for forgiveness. You don't get grace unless you repent. It's a prerequisite. It is a condition that was very clear in everything that Christ talked about. Okay. And you can say to me, well, I don't believe in sin, or I'm an atheist or agnostic. That's fine too. We were created with free will. We get to choose. So if that's the choice that you want, then that's okay. But what surprised me was the people behind it. I assumed that behind that ad was a leftist woke group, that it was some kind of left-wing progressive organization, maybe Planned Parenthood, maybe LGBTQ. No, the billionaire behind this ad was actually the founder of Hobby Lobby, who is a vaunted on the right Christian organization. And this is from Forbes Wealth. And I'm going to go to break really quickly because my cat is like whining at the door for some reason. I'm going to go to break really quick and we're going to actually, no, he's good now. Sorry guys. So let's just do this. This billionaire, this is from Forbes, and they did this in depth, this, you know, deep dive. Last year, the billionaire donor behind the Jesus-focused Super Bowl ads. It's a group called He Gets Us. They ran two ads in last Super Bowl 2023 and in this Super Bowl 2024. In an effort to spread the word about Jesus, the false word about Jesus, as I just laid out to you. One of the donors behind the ads is Kraft Chain Billionaire, where the Kraft Chain Billionaire worth nearly $15 billion. His name is David Green. He's the founder of a national chain of craft stores, Hobby Lobby, and a big donor to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. The group behind the Jesus Focus ads is He Gets Us, a limited liability company that says it's an initiative of the Servant Foundation, a public charity and Christian foundation based in Kansas that last year launched a $100 million effort to improve the image of Jesus. So they need an ad campaign and a woke leftist advertising agency, Haven, to rehabilitate the image of Jesus. That in and of itself is a little cray. I think that God and Jesus can take care of their own image. They don't need some two-bit ad agency to come up with an AI generated. Those weren't even real people. Did you hear the cat? Madonna. My cat was trying to get in. Maybe I'll let him in at the end of the show. He just distracted me. But he's not yelling anymore, so he's fine. They want to rehabilitate the image of Jesus, says the billionaire owner of Hobby Lobby. The Washington Post reported this. One of the backers of this initiative is billionaire David Green, founder of Hobby Lobby and estimated by Forbes to be worth $14.8 billion. The Greens are part of a diverse group of individuals and entities. I guarantee you guys guessed. You thought it was Franklin Graham. You thought maybe it was Rick Warren and, you know, his organization down in Texas. There are a lot of shysters out there. Like, I'm telling you, dead to rights, like Christian frauds out there. And I'm not going to call them out. I'm not going to say a word. I'm just saying, as a very mature Christian, I know them when I see them. And these people make a lot of money being super religious and quoting scripture and planting churches and passing out money. And they get it completely. Like, this is, I don't even know what is worse, a complete bastardization of who Christ was, funded by Christian billionaires and run on the Super Bowl, or just blatant, you know, anti-religious sentiment coming from left-wing groups who are like atheists and agnostics. At least they're obvious and they've made their choice. Like, this is even more duplicitous. It's somewhat diabolical. Like, you think to yourself, does this dude who owns Hobby Lobby And he talks about, I mean, he judges everyone. He's like, well, all of my money is from God and we should be, I mean, he's a he reminds me a little bit of Bill Gates, right? Big, rich billionaire. He's a philanthropist and he uses his money to influence things. And so I just ask myself, like, does this guy know? I mean, this guy is clearly, he's quoting scripture. He has it all over his headquarters. He doesn't open Hobby Lobby on Sundays, right? They went, they didn't want to provide birth control for the employees over at Hobby Lobby and went all the way to the Supreme Court because of scripture, because they're, you know, like, so does this guy know, like, has he read his Bible? Has he read the gospel? Like, how could he look at this ad? How can they, how can these Christians look at this ad and say, yeah, that's totally biblical? And am I crazy? Did you guys think, I mean, I thought that was insane. He said, the Greens are part of a, this is from Forbes, the Greens are part of a diverse group of individuals and entities with a common goal of sharing Jesus more authentically. We're wanting to say, we being a lot of different people, that he gets us. He understands all of us. He loves who we hate. Right? So I think we just have to let the public know and create a movement, really, Green told Beck. Okay. In the U.S., Green's wealth produces the physical underpinnings of dozens of churches. Okay, so it's a money-making operation. See, that's what bothers me, is when Christians, and you know what? By the way, it bothered Jesus Christ too, because he went into the temple and he saw that they were selling doves and they were, you know, cheating on changing the money, and they were, you know, bilking, you know, average citizens out of their hard-earned money in the temple. And he got so pissed off that he turned over all the tables and condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious order of the day to hell. That's what Jesus did. That's how angry he was about people who misrepresented the faith and misrepresented the word of God and then tried to make money off of it by deceiving very well-meaning, honest believers and even people who are looking for God and seeking him out. So I don't know. I would not want to be, and I'm going to be done with this. I would not want to be this guy, this Green fellow, David Green, owner of Hobby Lobby. I wouldn't want to be Franklin Graham. I wouldn't want to be any of the preachers out there that are pimping Donald Trump, who is a serial adulterer, who is never, ever, ever asked for forgiveness for anything in his life, claiming that he's, you know, the next King David. All I'm saying is I don't say a word. I'm not the one who judges, but I would not want to go before Jesus Christ after this ad and say, yeah, I bought that, I paid for it, and I distributed it to Christians across the country. I would be very worried about my soul. That's all I'm saying, is that and he can do whatever he wants with his millions, and he can get behind the leftist woke appropriation of Jesus and push it out because he thinks that Jesus needs to have his image rehabilitated here in the U.S. Go for it, all right? But I would not want to be you. Frankly terrified. I'd be afraid I'd be struck dead doing, you know, some of that stuff. So that bothered me. That was really, and it's interesting. It came from, interesting to me that the one ad that really got my hackles up, really irritated me among a lot of you, the backers behind that are supposedly on our side, right? They support conservative politicians and Republicans and probably going to get behind Donald Trump. And they plant all these churches and they're evangelicals and this and that. And they talk about Jesus all the time and they bang their Bibles, right? And they're hypocrites. They're just hypocrites, you know? And so that was the biggest takeaway for that. That was the thing. I mean, it was even worse. What he did was even worse than, you know, Alicia Keys and Usher. And, you know, some of the sexually suggestive language that they used during the Super Bowl halftime show, right? I mean, you can take that or leave that. At least Usher and Alicia Keys aren't claiming to be some holier-than-thou evangelical organization that is pushing Christianity, right? It's the hypocrisy that really kills me with this. But that's neither here nor there. And some, I bet, you know, I'll probably get in trouble for this because – Clearly, this guy has a lot of money and he spreads it around, and he probably influences a lot of the people that I would reach. So let's go to the live chat and see what you guys have to say about that. And then we'll go to break and we'll hit one of the bigger stories today. What is going on in Europe? The European farmers are taking scalps. They're winning discernible policy outcome. And we're going to talk about that when we come back after the break. But I am going to take some of your comments right now on the live chat. If you want me to see your comment, you guys are not following directions. So if you want me to read your comment, or maybe you don't want me to read your comments, I'm going to do it anything. Okay. Lupine says everything in Hobby Lobby. So here's the rule. If you want me to read your comments or answer your questions on the live chat right here on Rumble, if you think of it, write your question or comment in all caps. And that way I can see it and I'll notice it and I'll read it. And none of you are doing it, but that's okay. I love you anyway. Lupine did though. Lupine said everything in Hobby Lobby is made in China. Very interesting. I think that a deep dive into Hobby Lobby and that organization would be really, really interesting. Dino Fun says the King James Version is the only one. I've read the King James Version. It's tough. Let me tell you, it's not an easy read. Other than, I suppose, the Geneva Bible, that's the one that Naomi Wolf is reading right now, which is interesting, and the Wycliffe Bible. Yeah, okay, I think that's interesting. Listen, there's a reason that there's a saying about being lost in translation. Anytime you have translations, you know, but I do believe that God protects his word and he has for, you know, almost 4,000 years of human history. And so, you know, I don't pay too close attention to that. I just read different versions. It's another cultural hijacking, said CJP Rumble. And yeah, you guys heard Buddy. Did you hear the cat? I know. He ran away. He was not happy with me. He wanted to get in here. Sean Native Texan says, sorry, cats are evil and should only be outside in the barn to eat and hunt snakes and mice. Come on, Sean. I'm going to let him in. I'm going to go to break and I'm going to bring Kitty in and see if we can have some fun with him. Let's see. People need to let go of their nostalgia for Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A, and Stanley Cups. You know, I've always been, and I don't know about all of you, but there are like, I'm a Christian, but I don't lead my business with my Christianity. It's not like the source of my business. It's something that I've never felt comfortable doing and I would never do. And so I will see, but I'm not judging any of these as well at all. I'm just saying that using the Christian moniker to make your business, I don't know. I think it's a little bit murky. And these are just lines that I've never wanted to cross. And I'm sure there's a way to do this, but I just get really irritated when you have religious leaders really confusing their followers and deceiving people. And that's what that ad, you know, there could be a much larger discussion about this. I'm just saying, when I see an ad like that, that is not okay. Dino Fun said, I think Chick-fil-A did something stupid a few years back. And their CEO got in some kind of trouble. And sometimes that's what happens is that, you know, you get sucked into the system. But why spend your money on this? That's my question. Like very, very strange. Now, this article was done a year ago. And so this group, He Gets Us and the Servant Foundation, they need to be investigated now. I know they have a new ad agency. The ad agency for the last year's commercial was Haven. The ad agency for this year's commercial is a super woke, super leftist organization. And I did a cursory, you know, peek at their website. So it's a new ad agency. And maybe they withdrew their money. Maybe they pulled their money. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm kind of interested in who was behind the ad that ran yesterday. Let's see what else we got. Loads of companies have decent founders. Oh, but it had wicked children and grandchildren. Isn't that the way of the world, right? Like you start something, you build something, and then your kids come in, first generation, second generation, and they blow it all to hell. That was basically Ecclesiastes. I mean, that was, you know, King Solomon was like the wisest, the best king probably ever described in the Bible, Old Testament. And King David was up there. But Solomon was, I mean, he was no joke. He was considered the wisest man in the history of the world. And his sons were just decrepit. They were terrible. And they just ruined everything that he built. And Ecclesiastes, that entire chapter, which is one of the most fascinating chapters of the Bible, is really King Solomon lamenting, saying, oh my gosh, I built this, I built that, I tried to be good, tried to do the right thing, tried to, you know, be a great leader, and then my kids come in and they ruin everything and they're terrible. What's the point of all of it? It's all futile. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. And that was King Solomon. And at the end, it's very uplifting at the end. He's like, you know what? The things of the world will pass away, but my relationship with God, my love for God and following God will never, ever fall away. And that's all that matters. And, you know, into my later years, those are going to be the things that I focus on. That's like essentially the way that it went, but it's totally true that the kids often mess things up. And that's not, I don't think that that's a fait accompli, but I think that that does often happen. So let's go back to the live chat. We have, we have someone gross on the chat that I'm going to have to, we're going to have to block you. Kyle Light is going to go after we end the show because they're crazy. So we'll block them, but let's go back to your comments. They need to understand that even though Jesus didn't preach hate, he did preach about the wages of sin and hell out of love so that people would not end up there. It's absolutely true. Dino Fun says the New International Version New Testament was published in partnership with the International Bible Society. Company was bought by HarperCollins, Division of News Corp, News Corp in 1988. And yeah, so there are always influences. I like the old stuff. CJP Rumble, I'm going to kick him out, definitely. I can't do it right now because I'm in the middle of the show, but he's gone. He's out of here. All right, when we come back, we're going to look at, I'm going to do the Kennedy video. Let's end on a nice note. So Super Bowl, I think it was really interesting. I've laid out kind of my thoughts about the political and cultural themes. Loved seeing the Kennedy video. This is a great ad. Most people watching the Super Bowl probably didn't know that Bobby Kennedy Jr. was even running for the president of the United States of America. Now they know. And the response to this ad was really, really positive. So we're going to play the ad. Then we're going to go to a commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the farmers' protest and a very brief discussion to set up my discussion tomorrow about the Putin-Tucker interview with Sasha Latapova. So keep it tuned right here. Let's check out that Kennedy video. Let me know what you think about it in the live chat. We'll be back in a minute.
You want a man for president who's seasoned through and through. A man who's old enough to know.
And young enough to do.
Well, it's up to you. It's up to you.
It's strictly up to you.
American Values 2024 is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
And that was the Kennedy commercial. Quirky, different, fun, definitely cut through the clutter. That's the one thing you want to do if you're going to pull an ad and you're going to have a successful ad is got to look really different than everything else. I think he achieved that. He accomplished it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the week. But I just thought it was great. And if people didn't know who Kennedy was and that he was running, they do know now. Let's go to break real quick. When we come back, we're going to talk about the farmers' protests on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, just want to pause for a moment to thank our sponsors over at Shell Shock CBD. That is shellshockcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code ShannonJoy for 10% off all of their products. We love this company, and I want to draw your attention today to a study that I found from 2014 published at NIH. This is a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled parallel group study of THC CBD spray and peripheral neuropathic pain treatment. And in the conclusion of this study, they found, and I quote, these findings demonstrate that in a meaningful proportion of otherwise treatment-resistant patients, clinically important improvements in pain, sleep quality, and SGIC of the severity of their condition are obtained with the THC CBD spray. So as you know, we've been talking about the medicinal benefits of CBD. I use a non-THC CBD product called Rackout from Shellshock CBD that has me sleeping like a baby. And there are more and more studies out there showing that CBD is a really great alternative for people who want to stay off pharmaceutical products. And that's why I love the folks over at Shellshock CBD. They have a whole variety of tinctures and creams and gummies and CBD products, both THC and non-THC, which is what I use, that are helping people to ease a whole variety of problems, whether it's stress, anxiety, sleeplessness, or even pain. They have the topical cream called Topical Thunder that people swear by. The reviews are fantastic. And as I've mentioned, the Rackout gummies, which is what I use when I can't sleep. It's an amazing product. I would love for you guys to try it out. If you go to shellshockcbd.com, that's shellshockcbd.com, you can get some of their products, the gummies particularly, in sample packs so that you don't have to buy and invest in the whole product. You can try it out, see it if you like it. And as John Burke always says, if you are not completely satisfied, they always give you a 100% money back guarantee. That is how confident they are in their products over at Shellshock CBD. So please support the companies that support the Shannon Joy Show. Go to shellshockcbd.com right now, today. Put in that promo code Shannon Joy and begin to experience the benefits of the medicinal benefits of Shellshock CBD. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. And so, yeah, of course, Shellshock CBD, John Burke is amazing. He's a supporter of the Shannon Joy Show. We would not be able to bring the show to you every day if it weren't for our advertisers. And Shellshock CBD has been one of the best. John Burke is a veteran. He served in multiple theaters of war, Iraq and Afghanistan. When he came back, he wanted to help some of his buddies get off the big pharmaceutical companies, all the pharmaceutical medications, and just get off pharma in general. And he does that through CBD. The medicinal benefits of CBD have been studied. They've been reported on. There are lots of studies out there. And they help in easing pain, anxiety, inflammation. In my case, the Rack Out Sleep Aid is an absolute godsend. I use it consistently. It is melatonin plus non-THC CBD. And I absolutely love it. So please go to shellshockcbd.com, shellshockcbd.com. And you must put in the promo code ShannonJoy for the 10% off. And also so that John knows that I sent you and re-ups his advertising campaign with us, because we're up, I think, in another month or so. So we definitely want to help them gin up some sales here this February. I'm going to be talking about some other products coming up in the month. So you can look forward to that. I was able to, in the break, mute that really gross guy, Kyle Light, who is just posting really vulgar, vile things on the live chat. And so I learned something new today, guys, on the Shannon Joy Show as I continue to learn how to self-produce. And that is how to mute someone on the live chat, which is super fun. I love free speech, but if you're going to post really vile and disgusting comments with just profanity lace, I'm just going to take you down because it's very confusing and very, I'm sorry, not confusing. It's just distracting from the show and also the chat on the live chat. So you guys are great. Okay. Vidana says, I liked the Kennedy ad. BoomerCon would have liked it too. Yeah. It was kind of retro. I don't know. It's just so different. It's retro. It doesn't really have a message. I did think it was interesting that he said, old enough to know about things, but young enough to actually do them, right? Like really going after the octogenarian. People are really irritated that we have to choose between these two old men. One is senile and the other is just batshit crazy. And these are the questions. These are the choices that we have in the 2024 election. A lot of regular people are really, really perplexed by that. So, you know, that's where we are. Sean Native Texan says, I'm looking into this to find stuff. Okay, for the CBD. Awesome. My friends speak highly about it. Yeah. Amazing, Sean. Yeah, check out Shell Shock CBD. It's great. Vedana says it's a sign of success when you get trolled. Absolutely. All right, we're good. No, I didn't change my shirt. No, the last the last video that I played was an ad that I pre-recorded for Shell Shock CBD. No, I didn't run out and change my shirt. We are live today. And let's do this. So we are going to talk now about the farmers' protest. And at the end, we will set up the Putin interview as well. And I'll set up my interview tomorrow with Sasha Latapova. Make sure that you guys mark your calendars and follow the Shannon Joy Show right now on Rumble so that you are notified when I go live, because it's going to be a killer interview with Sasha. She's one of the most brilliant thinkers on the planet. She's amazing. And I'm dying to hear about what she really thinks about the Tucker Carlson and Vladimir Putin interview. I have a lot of thoughts on it as well. But first, let's take a look at, this is a great video posted by Eva Vlar on Twitter. She has been following what has been going down. Again, rolling protests. So we covered extensively here on the Shannon Joy Show the Canadian truckers protest. I mentioned in the beginning of this show that it was one of the most successful and influential protests, highly organized, that I have ever witnessed. And I've been doing this for a very long time. I think it's the wave of the future. And what we saw in Europe was really a reincarnation of what the Canadian truckers did in Canada to essentially protest the lockdowns. It was the extended lockdowns, the COVID-19 lockdowns, and much of the angst and anxiety and anger coming from Europeans across Europe proper is, you know, not just the great resetters and the new sustainability standards and guidelines that are really screwing up people's lives, but also the lasting ramifications of COVID. A lot of that stuff is still in place. And, you know, the economy has been absolutely wrecked by the COVID-19 lockdowns. None of the politicians want to deal with it. I mean, they're dealing with the same things in Europe that we're dealing with here. So this has led to, over the summer, there were trucker protests started in the Netherlands with the Dutch. Okay. And then it expanded and it waned a bit. And then we saw at the beginning of the year, right around January, that it reignited starting in Germany. And Eva Vlar has been reporting on this. I like Rebel News for their reporting and Peter Sweden. But the good news is that this is now being broadcast all over. Here are just a couple headlines from mainstream news media organizations about what is going down in Europe. And I have a video that I'm going to play for you as well. The Guardian, they're drowning us in regulations, how Europe's furious farmers took on Brussels and beyond. Financial Times, the power of Europe's rebellious farmers. That was 2 hours ago. Reuters, Spanish farmers take to the streets for the fourth day planning Madrid protests. BBC, from Poland to Spain, Europe's farmers ramp up protests. AP News, farmers in Italy, Spain, and Poland protest over European Union policies and competition. Bloomberg.com, Delhi on alert as Indian farmers gear up for mass protests. The Tribune from India, farmers protest, Haryana police advisory on traffic disruption because they're expecting massive, massive rolling protests. What are we in? We're mid-February. It's February 12th. These started, like I said, right around January. So we are on week 6 of rolling, expanding protests, and they are not settling down. Okay. This is getting, they are getting even more intense. They are gaining more supporters. And, you know, here, let me see if I can find, this is from the Financial Times. Yeah, this is unbelievable. Just to give you an overview, like a scope, okay? Just in the Belgian city of Namur to Brussels, and this was just a day or two ago. They suffered a traffic jam like none other. Around 700 tractors and 1,500 farmers blocked the road, many staying for over 36 hours. It's not an isolated event, said the Financial Times. Farmers who have been protesting across the European Union for several months have dramatically escalated their actions over the past few weeks, obstructing major arteries in city streets in France, Romania, Germany, Spain, Poland, the Netherlands, Latvia, and other EU states, add Canada to that and add India to that, among others. They have barricaded supermarkets, dumped manure, set hay bales on fire, ransacked food distribution lorries, and pelted police with eggs. In France, they threatened to lay siege to Paris, but in Belgium, they blocked the port of Zeebrugge. In Italy, as some farmers drove their tractors to Rome, others placed a cow or paraded a cow through the streets of Milan. "We don't have any other possibilities but to protest," said Sebastian Gaines, one of the 1,500 farmers on the road from Namur. "Our only power is to get on our tractors and block." And they are getting, wait till you see what they have accomplished, because this is not just an isolated protest with angry people just, you know, shaking their fists in the air. No, they are getting discernible policy outcome, which is astounding. And so I'm going to bring that to you, what they've accomplished in just the past couple of days, to show you that these types of protests work and we need more of them. And somehow in the US, we need to awaken from our slumber. Again, we're still very heavily propagandized here in the US. We've got to understand what's happening across the country. But just to give you an idea of the scope and the magnitude of what we're seeing, again, week six of massive rolling protests. They're bringing Europe to a standstill. They're shutting down distribution lines, and they're saying to the government, we do not want your sustainability efforts. We do not want net zero. We do not want the Green New Deal. We do not want the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization, giving us bugs to eat and 15-minute cities and 200-square-foot apartments. Like, no, 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 no. Food is life. The farmers represent food, and they are stepping out, and wow, it's pretty amazing. Let's take a look at this quick video. When we come back, we're going to talk about the success of their campaign, because what's the point of the protest if you just go out and get angry and nothing happens? No, we look for discernible policy outcome here in the Shannon Joy Show. And if it's not going to come from the electoral process or the ballot box or a presidential election, then damn it, we're going to get it from someplace else. And if that means organizing from the bottom up, then we got to do it. Okay, so let's take a look at what they're doing in Europe and ask ourselves this question in the US. Why can't we do this too? Here you go. And that is an amazing video that was posted by Eva Vlar on Twitter. Her handle is at Eva Vlar. And she has, you saw a short clip of her reporting from the European Union, from Europe. She's been traveling all over Europe. I've been trying to get her on, actually. I've reached out to Christine Anderson, Eva Vlar. I have connections who know her, and also Peter Sweden, also our good friend James Melville, who's been on the show multiple times. And I just can't seem to get, I want someone in Europe who is, you know, going through all of this to come on the program. And, you know, I don't have a producer too. So like I reach out, I try to set these guys up, and just the scheduling is kind of tricky, but they must be very, very busy with all of the winning that is going on in Europe, because they're winning. Again, what is the point of a protest if you're not going to achieve something? This is what they're achieving. And this is what I want you guys to take away today as we begin to wrap up the show. This is from the Financial Times, okay? First of all, the sentiment of the farmer, they're drowning us in regulations. This is why the farmers are furious. It is massive government programs and controls that are making it difficult for them to produce food and to farm. Okay. There are all kinds of, each region has their own political landscape and their own regional disputes and organizations and groups. Yes. In Europe, the farmers are heavily subsidized. That's their system. And that's going to come into play with this. But this is not largely, and I paid very close attention to it, this is not largely like a, hey, we want communism and hey, we want socialism. This is get the government off of our backs. We don't want to eat bugs. We don't want to live in 15-minute cities. And we do not want to live in 400-square-foot apartments. We don't want the new world order. We don't want the Great Reset. We don't want the technocracy. We want you to leave us alone so that we can make food and we can have children and we can, you know, have families and plant gardens and build houses and live as humans live. Okay. That's really the sentiment. And I've watched hours of interviews of the different farmers and what they're saying and, you know, translated into English. This is not about wanting more government subsidies. This is not about wanting government handouts. This is directly in conflict with the government as it exists in Europe today within the European Union. So how, you know, what are they doing? Well, they've had some, basically the powers that be, the politicians and the governments are backing down. Okay. And this is in the piece, and I linked it. If you guys look in the show comments, I actually linked this to, so you guys can look at this piece yourself. But as a demonstrator, this is from the Financial Times talking about the power of the European farmers. And please, please don't just gloss over that. The power of we the people, the power of regular people organized around true principles, right? Things we can all agree on. The Constitution of the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence, the idea of basic natural rights, right? The right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness, the right to provide for your family, to have a livelihood, the right to not be a slave, the right to not have the government shove something into your body against your will and call it a medical countermeasure or intervention, whether it's a vaccine or a medical procedure, right? These are all very basic things that most people, if you go across the political lines and the geographic lines, and the cultural lines and the gender lines and the religious lines, these are things that we can all agree with. The difficulty is finding each other and training our eyes on the real enemies of humanity and freedom and liberty, not each other, but the powers that be. The governments, which are owned by the elites, and the elites who really control the global banking apparatus that props up all of these global nasty corporations like the pharma corporations, then they wield their power and they buy politicians, whether it's Germany or the United States of America or Canada, it's always the same. They buy the politicians, they purchase the governments, and then you have the quasi-fascistic relationship of government plus corporation working against the interests of regular people, working against the interests of free markets, working against the interests of basic freedom. That's what's at play here. And it's at play in India, China, Europe, Canada, and the United States of America. They're getting it across the pond. We're not getting it so much here in the US. We're still kind of sleepwalking through this fake election of 2024. And, you know, being served up crap sandwiches from conservative media and Con Inc. and Bizarro Con on a daily basis, pretending like it's really a choice between Trump and Biden. Give me a break, okay? Those guys are both owned by the same people. So we might move into a moment in the United States of America where our elections and democracy are not going to solve our problems for us. We're going to have to get up, get involved in civics, and start organizing the way that the farmers have, and they've been very peaceful, okay? They're feisty and they're provocative, hence the manure and the dumping and you know, all of their tactics and techniques. But this is a peaceful movement ultimately, and that's very, very important. But this is what they're achieving, and let's see if we can learn from them and maybe achieve some of these things in the U.S. As the demonstrations escalated, and this is from very good overview from the Financial Times, if you want to get an understanding of what's going on. As the demonstrations escalated, the European Commission gave farmers a temporary exemption from the rules to set aside land for natural conservation. That's win number one, check. They also partly reversed the 2021 decision to allow free access for agriculture imports from Ukraine, which jumped in price in 2022, causing gluts and undercutting prices in Eastern European countries. This week, the farmers, so check number two, this week, the farmers won their biggest concession yet. Under pressure from the EU, leaders and her own conservative political group, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, dumped parts of her cherished Green Deal climate law. Let's go, okay? She announced Tuesday that a proposal, and this is without an election, this is without hearings, a court didn't do this, a politician didn't do this, an elected a political party didn't do this, right? This was direct action by regular people organized from the bottom up. Please understand, guys, that's where your power is. That's where our power is. She announced on Tuesday a proposal to have pesticide use seen as crucial by the bloc's biodiversity goals that would be scrapped and rewritten to applause from European Parliament. So yeah, they're going to try to rewrite this and trick everyone into, you know, going for it again. We can expect that, but let's enjoy the win for a moment. This is a huge win. She had to walk this back. This is everything, guys. This is everything. The same day, the commission also cut a national target for reducing agricultural emissions from its landmark 2040 climate plan. Our farmers deserve to be listened to, von der Leyen said. I know they are worried about the future of agriculture and their future as farmers. So a direct hit. They took a scalp from the 2040 climate plan, which is the plan to own everything, right? And that's really what they want. And we're going to talk about this with Michael Yon on Wednesday. Understanding the forces that drive geopolitical events, not only in Europe, but in the US, it's always about power. Power is the seizing or the ownership of land, resources, and humans. And that's what these people are going to. And they wrap it up in their woke agenda and they wrap it up in the Great Reset and they try to scare the crap out of you about climate change and global warming and, you know, the next virus, the economic collapse. I mean, it's always a fear agenda, but it's always to get us to basically submit and allow them to take everything in exchange for some semblance of security. Well, how secure do you feel, right? Do we really want to put our safety and security in the hands of these lunatics? Not me. I don't know about you guys. Now she needs to dump herself. Says CJP Rumble, right? Wouldn't you love it if they just stood up and said, listen, you know what? There's nothing we can do here. We're just going to retire. I would love it if they would just take all of them. I don't care that they have money and that they're elite and they have their yachts and their country houses and their beach houses and all of them. I really don't care. Go ahead and have fun with all your stuff. And, you know, your gambling and your strippers and whatever it is that you rich elite billionaires do. Okay, go for it. I don't care. You just got to leave us alone. Like when they come in and Bill Gates and Hobby Lobby, you know, billionaire and, you know, all of these outside forces come in and basically try to seize everything and control us. That's where I'm like, oh, hell no. I mean, they might win. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to just submit. And I don't think a lot of you guys want to submit either, right? So that's a huge win. There's more though, right? The protests, so this is really interesting, okay? So that's just the tip of the iceberg on the wins that they are, and we're going to get into a couple more of them. But the threats to Brussels from farmers in revolt, okay, this is important, goes beyond voters irritated that their major cities are clogged with tractors. The protesters have tapped into a rising sense of frustration, especially among conservatives and supporters. Now, here's, you know, they call it the far right. I don't know what they mean by that. But they have tapped into a rising sense of frustration that European policymakers are imposing too many restrictions on working people in the name of environmental progress. So they're cutting through to regular people. What that means here is that the people of Paris and Brussels and some of these cities in Germany and Belgium are not irritated with the farmers. They're not irritated with the protesters. They don't mind that things are shut down in that capacity because there's a growing sense of frustration that their governments are trying to shove them into this new sustainability, reset world where we own nothing and we eat bugs. Nobody wants that. Policymakers fear. I love that. I love when a paragraph starts out with that. Policymakers fear that sustained and more dramatic action from farmers could play into the hands of the extreme right wing. I think that's kind of BS, to be honest, but they are afraid. And environmental groups are conceding to their demands so rapidly that they fear it is a damaging precedent as the EU attempts to bring in industrial reforms to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So they are upset. They are upset that such rapid concessions, because they're just caving, they're folding like cheap tents, right? They're backing off of all of these things. And this is very, very concerning to, the people pushing this. And this is a quote from Ariel Brunner, director of the environmental non-governmental organization, Bird Life Europe. Okay. These people, where do they get their money from? It's insane. These are very untalented, non-imaginative, lazy people who get their cush jobs at the NGO and they just shovel money at them. And all they have to do is just push the agenda, push the line. And, you know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Don't think. Do not think if you work for an NGO. Just do what you're told. And so these people are very, very, very concerned. It sends a very clear message to any lobby that doesn't like the changes that are needed, that if the political system is going in the direction that you don't like, you should just throw the toys out of the pram and they will give you a free pass, laments Ariel Brunner, director of the environmental NGO Bird Life Europe. Today, it is the intensive farm lobby, and tomorrow, it could be someone else. So they really fear the revolution. That's probably the best part of the Financial Times, is understanding that these people are shook. They're shook. And this relentless, unceasing organization and turnout of these farmers is having impact. It's not the easy way, that is for sure. But it's the right way, and clearly it's the effective way. Because I don't know about all of you, but I've been observing and watching the patterns of United States presidential elections for about 15 years. And in every single case, time and time again, it always seems to be a case of meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And even though the rhetoric is different between the Republicans and the Democrats, when you look at the pages on the bills that are passed, that are signed by Democrats and Republicans, they're basically the same. Right? They support the expansion of government. They support profligate debt and deficit spending that is literally destroying our dollar currency and our way of life for the American people as it becomes harder and harder to even survive. And these policies, they are like drunken sailors and they'll continue to do it until we fight back. So I really hope that you guys are inspired by what is happening in Europe and inspired by the farmers. And Data 12 is with us. I'm going to take a couple of your comments on the live chat. We're going to wrap things up pretty soon. Go Farmers, the family unit, and all the additional rewards make it the greatest life on earth. Absolutely. CJP Rumble says, gluttonous elites suffer from narcissistic personality disorders. They're very terrible people. They really are. They're self-righteous. They're lazy. They have an enormous amount of hubris. They're smug. And they think very, very highly of themselves. And I do think a lot of them really suffer from God complex, probably because they're so rich and bored that, you know, they just don't know what to do with themselves. And so they liken themselves to be, they're very narcissistic. And so, they have to find something to occupy their time. And so they think, you know, well, we can become gods. We can live forever. We can, you know, and that's where all the weird transhumanism, the Elon Musk syndrome, where I don't even know. You want, you know, the implanting of the chips in the brain and the new, the merging of the human body and the machine. Like, some of them are really obsessed with that. And they're quite frankly terrifying. So we just need to make sure that they go back to being billionaires and hanging out on their yachts with their hookers and their drug dealers and all the things that they do when you're an elite, and get out of the business of the little people. I think that's kind of where I am. These people are nuts. They do not deserve to have any power. And I think that most of us, us little people across the world, can figure out just fine how to live our lives and how to take care of ourselves. And we need to be left alone to do that. So that's the mission here on the Shannon Joy Show. So thank you guys so much for being with us today. This was a relatively uneventful show. Tech was fine. I was able to play the clips. I was able to block the comments of a nasty live chatter, which is super fun. You learn something new every single day. And tomorrow, super thrilled to bring in Sasha Latapova. She is going to talk about the Putin and Tucker Carlson interview, which we're going to do a deep dive again, looking at the larger geopolitical themes that are shaping what is going to be the 21st century. And there is a vision and a goal of the leftist progressive elites, the billionaires who think they run things, and we the people, right? What is the 21st century going to look like? Will it be a technocracy? Will it be complete controlled by supranational organizations and technocrats who know everything about us, control everything that we do, and use humanity like a resource as opposed to respecting the rights of basic humans to live and to be free? Or will we be free, right? Will we throw off the shackles of this growing threat and figure out how to maintain and further the cause of freedom in the 21st century? I think that's the big question. That's the question that we always are looking to answer here in the Shannon Joy Show, in, you know, in context of what's happening in the world. And Vlad with Tucker has a lot to say about that, about where he thinks things are going. That interview, there is so much to tease out of it. Ultimately, What I took away, the largest takeaway for me in that interview, was the fact that it appears that Vladimir Putin believes that Elon Musk is much, much, much more powerful than any elected U.S. leader. And it was very interesting. You know, that interview had every hallmark of a diplomatic mission. There was diplomacy. There was global diplomacy, even, you know, Tucker at the end asking for the release of a political prisoner, right? So this interview was set up. It was negotiated. There had to have been preconditions, but it was not the typical, wasn't the State Department. It wasn't United States ambassador. It was not the president. It wasn't a delegation led by a senator or an elected member of Congress. No, it appears to me that this was negotiated and planned by someone else. And I have a big question as to who that was. I have a hunch as to who that was. That's what we're going to look at tomorrow as we look at the entirety of that interview. Absolutely fascinating. And people do need to understand this Sino-Russia alliance. And Putin talked about that extensively. And again, there's a lot to tease out from that. We're going to hit that exclusively tomorrow on the Shannon Joy Show, with my live interview with Sasha Latapova. So hit that follow button. Make sure you like the Shannon Joy Show. We will be back tomorrow to do it all again. Thank you to everyone who watched today. You guys are amazing. I'm going to go back and read a bunch of your comments. And it's going to be great. So thank you guys so much for being with us today on the show. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all again right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Hey everyone, Shannon Joy for Connecta Mobile. So when I started my show 10 years ago, I would talk to my friends about privacy and the Fourth Amendment, and they would look at me like I had three heads. Now, fast forward to 2024, post-COVID, and everyone is talking about privacy. We are freaked out by AI, grossed out by government surveillance, and very aware that data is the new gold. Combine that with the new reality that your whole life and all of your data is on your phone and in the palm of your hands, making you a sitting duck for common hackers, corporate hustlers, or government spies. Are you going to let them get away with that? Well, I'm not. And that's why I use my Konecta mobile phone as the official business phone for Joy Media. That's because Konecta is the only phone company that specializes in security and privacy above all else. Call Konecta Mobile today and talk to a real person who lives in the United States about securing your devices and communications for as little as $35 a month. Their basic plan includes device encryption, encrypted text and data, also a free phone. That's just the beginning. Call 941-246-2156 to talk to a representative. That's 941-246-2156. Or go to phone123.com/joy today. That's phone123.com/joy. Get securely connected today only with Konecta.